I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
Welcome to Rich Text, a podcast about our cultural obsessions, like cerulean.
The best color there is, if you really think about it. If you're listening today, you're already a subscriber to our audio and written newsletter, Rich Text, now on Patreon. Thank you for being here. You quite literally make our work possible.
We're here today because we both actually went to see The Devil Wears Prada 2 the very same week that it came out. We're so on top of things.
Look at us. We each got ourselves to the movies. Give us a medal for doing a fun activity.
I literally was like, I'm being so productive today. And then I was like, Claire, you once would have considered this playing hooky, but it felt good.
It's called research.
You know what? It's important. I think actually that I have had for the past few years, like a mental block about doing something as unproductive as going to the movies when I'm like, oh, I've got so many balls to juggle. I can't just go to the movies. And then I'm always like, sorry, Emma, we can't talk about that because I can't go to the movies. But like, this is my job. So
we prioritized it. We did the work. You're welcome.
We did.
And honestly, I'm so glad that we did because I honestly went in just not knowing what to expect. And there was like a lot more there.
Yeah, I was not really impressed by the trailer. Obviously, a lot of the trailer is like fan service, like, oh, here's Emily Blunt. Here's Miranda giving a cutting look. There's that line where Andy is like, my boss is badder than your boss. And it's a throwaway in the movie, but it's very cringe. And I was like, why did you put that in the trailer?
Yeah, you're like, oh no, this is not,
Yeah, and there are some cringe moments and some weak lines, but the overall movie, to me, landed much better than the trailer.
I fully agree. So let's get into a little background. The Devil Wears Prada 2 is, of course, a brand new 2026 comedy sequel, a follow-up to the 2006 hit film, The Devil Wears Prada.
Very important movie.
The original was directed by David Frankel from a screenplay by Aileen Brosh McKenna, and it was based on the 2003 book of the same name by Lauren Weisberger. And Weisberger, of course, famously worked as an assistant to Anna Wintour during some of Anna's reign, long, long reign as editor of American Vogue. And so she drew from those experiences for this book that made the movie extra buzzy at the time. And the original follows Andrea Sachs.
Andrea Sachs.
played by Anne Hathaway, a young, I didn't even remember she was Andrea. I was just like, she's Andy.
Well, it's Andrea, I think. But then Miranda refers to Andrea.
Andrea. Wow, I need to rewatch the original. I meant to do that before we taped this.
She does it in this movie, too. She calls her Andrea.
I literally missed that.
Andy isn't elegant enough.
That is so fair. I prefer Andy. Andy is, of course, played by Anne Hathaway. She, in the 2006 movie, is like a young, recent, like college grad, aspiring journalist who gets a job as assistant number two to the uber successful and elegant, but also prickly and cruel editor of Runway magazine, Miranda Priestly, played by Meryl Streep, the greatest movie star of our time.
And what an iconic turn she gives as Miranda Priestly. Andy ends up clashing with Miranda's first assistant, Emily, played by Emily Blunt, and develops a sort of warm, almost friendship with Runway's fashion director, Nigel, played by Stanley Tucci. And as she slowly commits more and more to the job, she ends up eclipsing Emily to become Miranda's chosen number one. But at the end of the movie, she breaks with Miranda because she's afraid to become like her and to have this sort of cutthroat approach to her career. Miranda has just thrown Nigel under the bus and announced someone else for a plum gig that he was supposed to get in order to preserve her own position as editor at Runway. And Andy is so shocked that she throws her phone in the fountain and leaves Runway. She goes to work at a newspaper, the New York Mirror, and sets off on the sort of more humble, scrappy career as a journalist that she originally intended.
Yes. And there is sort of like a detente between the two of them at the end. Her new boss at the Mirror says that he called Miranda for a reference, and Miranda said she was the worst assistant that she's ever had, and he would be a fool not to hire her. So there is this like begrudging, tacit respect between the two of them, even though Miranda is ultimately like the villain of this movie.
Yeah. It is complicated, right? Insofar as there's a villain, she's the villain.
Yeah. No, there is no like clear big bad, but if in that role is largely Miranda. But then, of course, she is complicated over the course of the film. We also have Andy's on and off boyfriend, who some might argue is the real villain.
Yeah. I'm a secret Nate.
You're
defender,
an apologist.
But he's not in this movie, so it's not going to come up too much. I remember when I first watched the movie being like, Nate and her friends are being kind of unfair. Like, this is her job. And then by the time the whole culture turned against Nate, I was like, now you've gone too far. Like, was he a perfect boyfriend? No. At the same time, she missed his birthday party. Like, you know.
He didn't read her work. Also, I'm like, oh, he was like 23. They
right.
probably were all both shitty.
They were both young and trying to make it in demanding careers. And no one's perfect, but I hope Nate is out there somewhere chefing away. And
I'm
become
you
a
know what? I'm glad they're
someone.
I'm glad they're not together. I don't think he should be in this movie. Mm. And we'll talk more about kind of a little side plot that Andy gets with regards to her love life in the second film. But it's not the center of either movie, which is something I actually really
enjoy. No, this is
enjoy.
A career movie. And ultimately, like, Miranda is disappointed that Andy doesn't want to follow the same path as her. But you also, it seems like the begrudging respect is because they both see each other's ambition. And on some yeah. level, they respect that. Like, Miranda sees that
yes.
Andy has ambition. It just lies elsewhere. And ambition is something that Miranda really prizes.
Yeah, and that is something that comes up again in the sequel. So the sequel comes a full 20 years later. David Frankel directed this movie again. Aileen Brosh McKenna also wrote the screenplay. I've been most familiar with Aileen Brosh McKenna's work because I loved Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a series that she
yes.
co-created. Incredible. And I was like, oh, that's definitely why we have some Rachel Bloom in the second movie. And I love
now
that.
Now I want to do a Crazy Ex-Girlfriend rewatch because I never see Rachel Bloom anymore. It like really
the
brought it back for
me. The first season was so good
just
of
like
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Perfect season of television. So Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Meryl Streep, and Stanley Tucci all reprise their roles. Tracy Thomas, who plays Andy's friend Lily, is back. She is kind of, she's like the one friend or like social tie from the first movie outside of Runway that we see brought back. And they have this sort of close friendship that is one of the.
Yeah,
anchors.
I enjoyed that.
Me too. The follow-up film centers around a situation that I think we are quite familiar with and that has increasingly become a problem, not just for people who work in journalism, but for the stability of our society as a whole, which is
yes.
the consolidation, gutting, and crumbling of both print and digital media shops, which has to do with just the ravages of late stage capitalism, the whims of
and the
tech
whims
billionaires.
Of tech billionaires, a lot of very, very, very rich bros. And the any like villainy of Miranda is just completely dwarfed by these major societal issues that now we see both women who have taken these like alternate paths towards chasing their ambitions. It doesn't matter because mm-hmm. they are both being impacted by these larger societal forces as, you know, as are all of us.
Yeah.
And somehow this is all still packaged in a really like frothy, indulgent, glittery comedy.
Yeah, exactly. The critical response has been somewhat mixed, but honestly, more positive than I expected. But the movie was better than I expected. So there you go.
Right. I see why people were like, oh, I'm pleasantly surprised by this. Like almost every review that I read from a major publication was like overall positive, other than the LA Times. Amy Nicholson was not a fan. She wrote that it's simultaneously more depressing than the original and more saccharine, with a repellent amount of affection between characters who should know better. So she didn't love it